She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. The second reading is from Psalm number 139, verses 13 and 14. For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
Fearfully and wonderfully made. I have read that Mother's Day is the third most celebrated holiday in the world behind Christmas and Easter. And it is usually the third highest attendance for some churches. On Mother's Day, we celebrate the unique gift of motherhood, the love and sacrifices mothers offer, and the importance of honoring and cherishing them. Most Mother's Day services focus on what's good about motherhood. I value that. I recognize, honor, and celebrate all women today. Motherhood is a great honor, but it doesn't bring up great memories for everyone. I will do my best to be sensitive to that. Associate Senior Pastor Daniel Groth comments, Mother's Day is in fact a sort of liturgical holiday for the society in which we live. I'm going to repeat that. Mother's Day is in fact a sort of liturgical, he put quotes around that, liturgical holiday for the society in which we live. We've got it stamped in our collective calendars to take some extra time to celebrate, revere, and remember our mothers. So on this Mother's Day, I want to both respect that and acknowledge those whose relationship with their mother is or was strained or difficult. I want to acknowledge those who are missing their mothers and those who wanted to be mothers. Please know I stand with you as you grieve, remember, and with some, strive to either hold on to delightful memories and moments or let the hurt go. Mother's Day gives an opportunity to not only acknowledge the blessing of family, including the gift of motherhood, it also offers a chance to encourage gratitude for all that God provides. It can also be a reminder of God's own nurturing care and how mothers reflect that love. Just as mothers are often there for their children, God is a faithful and loving provider. And by the way, I did change the title of this sermon to Our Mothers. In the scriptures Kathleen read for us today, it's Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14, that highlights God's care for us. This psalm marvels at the intricate and uniqueness of God's creation and artistry in creating us. Just as the creation of a child in a mother's womb is miraculous and wonderful, There are a number of scriptures that describe God in ways consistent with motherhood, using feminine characteristics. For example, God is described as an eagle hovering over her young. God's concern for God's people is not unlike a midwife who cares for the child she's just delivered. And God will never forget God's children, like a mother will not forget to nurse their child. The reading from Proverbs highlights the strength and dignity a woman embodies, allowing her in her faith to confidently face the future without fear. This reading underlines the confidence rooted in a woman's character. But motherhood, throughout the Bible, contains examples of biblical women who understood, and by understood I mean experienced, the adversities of motherhood. Eve, the first mother who lost one child at the hands of another. Rebecca, Isaac's wife who struggled with favoritism of her own son Jacob over Esau. Jochebed, a caring mother who had to give her son Moses up. And let's not forget Mary, Jesus' mother, and a woman who gives first-hand account that motherhood is not for the weak. I think these stories remind us that it's okay if relationships between mothers and children aren't perfect. And that God is at work, even in those tough situations. It's challenging enough for us to care for ourselves. I'm sure adding in the responsibilities that we have toward our children can feel overwhelming. Our assurance is that God is at work redeeming our biggest mistakes and accidents for both children and parents alike. I want to talk about Mary for a moment, because many of the sermons that we hear about Mary focus on her response to her pregnancy and Jesus' arrival. In my humble opinion, Mary's role as the mother of Jesus and her relationship with her son displays a heartbreaking and all too human experience. I think we forget that. For example, there's a wedding in Cana, and Mary and Jesus and his disciples are invited. While they're there, the wine runs out, which in today's world really isn't a big deal. So what? You go out to the store, you buy a couple more bottles of wine. But in Jesus' time, it was a big deal. It was chaos. So Mary goes to her son with this problem. And because Jesus loves his mother, Jesus delivers the first sign of his divinity. He turns the water to wine at his mother's request. Jesus begins challenging the status quo as a child, as a teenager, bless you, by doing things like healing on the Sabbath in the temple. Mary makes plans to collect him because she's afraid he's losing his mind. So she gets her other sons and they collect Jesus and they take him to somewhere safe. With her son's abduction, sentencing, and death on the cross by crucifixion, Mary's grief, her own grief, mingles, I'm sure, with her lack of understanding of God's plan. I think it would be completely normal for Mary to be torn between the privilege of parenting the Savior and her day-to-day responsibilities as a wife and a mother. Jesus is growing up with his own sense of how God is leading him. So when Mary, as a mother, naturally rebukes him, his response is, his work is from his father, a different father. And that work is paramount. So perhaps Mary, as a mother, provides a lesson. The need to trust God's plan is greater than any potential you see in your children. Motherhood is a ministry. It's more than a full-time job. Now, I haven't been blessed to be a mother. I've watched my family and my friends, those I love, struggle, love unconditionally, give of themselves completely to raise their children. The Bible suggests that motherhood is a way for mothers to grow closer to God and depend on God's strength. How many times have you been out in Walmart where you hear parents say, God, give me strength? Maggie Combs, author of Unsupermommy, states God's purpose for your motherhood is that you would know God better, love God more, depend completely on God's strength, and understand God's faithfulness in a new way. I'm going to repeat that. God's purpose for your motherhood is that you would know God better, love God more, depend completely on God's strength, and understand God's faithfulness in a new way. Motherhood, she said, came to you to draw you deeper into God's love and story. Mother's Day is an important moment this far out from Easter. From Mary, we learn that a mother's love is never without sacrifice. A mother's love is never without hearts hurting. A mother's love is unconditional, and it isn't easy. Real love knows what's on the other side of its most fulfilling, most wonderful moments. So, moms, dog moms, cat moms, horse moms, earth moms, step moms, every mom, your endless joy, unwavering support, and the sacrifices you've made and continue to make have shaped and enriched the lives of your children and those around you. In celebrating all mothers, both biological and spiritual, who nurture and guide us in God's ways, I say, bless you. Bless you with joy. Bless you with strength and love to continue. May you be deeply appreciated and honored, not just today, but every day. Happy Mother's Day, Aunt Minnie. Happy Mother's Day, Auntie Gail. Happy Mother's Day. Let's take a few moments for reflection.